Guys, welcome to the episode of Into the West Comics. My name is Frank. Sonny is here.
Welcome back, boys. How are we doing today? Cool shirt number.
I don't know.
I'm just doing it in my sleep.
Now. I thought we were going to say, dude. Cool shirt, Sonny.
Oh, you
shouted out yourself?
Yeah. Cool shirt, bro.
Anyway, back to me. Uncle Nephew Shane is here.
Oh, that's awkward. Hey. Oh, no. Good pin. I like that. Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom. Hey. Very fitting for the news.
I'm wearing my Dr. Doom pin, everybody.
We might be talking about that in a little bit.
Good morning.
Certain casting announcements that might not be that big of a surprise.
Finally, right?
Oh, really?
Finally, officially, yeah.
So I'm topical for once?
You are.
You're on topic for once. Over there in the lounge, we have our copper droppers.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
The hot dog, ooh. Corn dog, Paul, and... Oh. And sultry.
How's everybody?
Guys look comfy over there.
Oh yeah.
I'm waiting for an incoming Tanya comment.
I was gonna shout out Tanya.
About Marcus and this feels Paul great, not wearing shorts.
What?
Brother Marcus is over there as well. Hi, Marcus.
Hi.
He's like, what did I do?
Yeah, I'm just chilling.
You didn't do anything.
I'm so glad that's his hook.
Guys, please welcome our special guest to the Las Vegas local artist in the area. Friend of the show.
He's cute. He's cuddly.
He's making Frank nervous. He never fumbles over the intro like that.
I know.
he's cool. One of my good friends.
I was thinking of five things at once. Please welcome James Stone.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thanks for... James, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. We do appreciate it.
Just glad I made it here.
Yeah.
It's a madhouse.
There's a lot of stuff
area.
Going on with the traffics in the downtowns, but you made it safely.
Little construction maze.
A little bit. Oh little squid game. A little.
I was like, I'm at this street and this street. You go, turn left here. And I'm like, where's that at? And Matt's like, you need to go four blocks around. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I should have said which direction I was facing.
Yeah, that would have helped.
Yeah.
I just assumed.
Yeah. You're like, just turn left.
He's like, where I'm at is closed. Go left.
It's like at the plaza. He's like, where's the studio?
It's like, do you want red or blue? And you're like, yes.
Yes.
Just barrels through the wall here.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to knock a chain link fence down and just like end up in the parking lot.
Just chickens.
Yeah.
It's just a me-shaped outline.
Just in the fence. Point is, you made it. Thank you for being here.
Appreciate you
Thank
being
you.
Here.
Appreciate your evening. Offering me here.
Where did you first start off? You got some creator-owned stuff we're going to talk about in a little bit, but where did you start or have your where did your interest begin as far as
origin story time?
Born and raised out here in Vegas, and my brother is 4 years older than I am. One of my brothers, and he always collected comic books from the 7-Eleven. He'd pick them up, you know, 50, 75 cents, bring them home. My little brother and I are always trying to read them. And eventually he got tired of that and we should just do some drawing, just draw these characters and just do makeup characters of mashups like Batman's ears and Superman's cape and Aquaman's boots, that type of, you know, 4-year-old stuff. And eventually my dad was like, why don't you just make up some of your own stuff? So we did, you know, and generic characters from there. And it kind of petered off from there. I would get comic books at random, and it wasn't until like high school that I started actually picking it up, like again going to the corner store, even the pharmacies were having comics in there, and I'd pick them up every once in a while. And then I started up the defunct comic club at high school.
Nice.
And from there it was kind of really learning about all the steps of what it is. Like, I didn't know how to make panels, I didn't know how to write the word balloons. Had to be editor and make sure everybody else was on track. And that was a nightmare because we're all like 16, 17 and didn't care enough. And
I get that now.
Yeah. As an adult, nobody cares.
Not at all.
From there, I just kept sketching and sketching. And a lot of it came from my older brother. He was the one that when he was drawing, like as good as like I was at like 19 or 20, that's how good he was at like 11 or 12.
Oh, cool.
You know what I mean? And he was always like my inspiration. He's always like, what are you working on? What are you doing? And, you know,
keeping on your toes.
When I was in high school, or as I got into high school, he left. He moved out to the other side of the country. And like a lot of guys, I'm going to go join a band. Never practiced once.
Shame.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like me and my friend Dave, and he's like, he lives in Tallahassee and I live in Orlando, and I'm like, you know the map
doesn't work like that
in real life. Like,
he's it's only this far apart.
Yeah.
I get there a second for practice.
I high five him through the window in the morning. So he never once picked up the guitar. He sold it within a couple months and then got into like swing dancing, and he's an instructor for that now.
Sick.
It's crazy how big it is out there.
Really?
But yeah, I went out there for a vacation, and there's like, he's like, went to one place and he's like, oh, the dance isn't starting until 8, so we got to go somewhere else. And went, there's like 9 dances.
It's like a pre-dance.
Yeah, it's like it's like everywhere. It's like
a pre-dance.
Break dancing in the 80s. Like, you could find it everywhere.
Wow.
The Power 97.
Shane was a break dancer in the 60s.
It explains
the
60s? A lot.
He invented.
How old do you think I am?
70.
Shane was doing the jitterbug.
He invented it.
but it was in the 60s in the back, unfortunately. He couldn't be in the main floor. Yeah. You do remember what the 60s were like. I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, man. You and Quan will be great friends.
I'm very likable. You never know.
I know.
I might have been able to get by. In that time.
You're just like, no, I'm like Al Jolson, everybody.
That's all right. Wow. He was in the bathroom giving perfume and cologne out, you know.
Mints and what have you.
Is that what they called it back then? Giving him mints and perfume in the bathroom?
That's right.
He was the elevator dude. What awesome. Floor, madam?
So what else did you...
Are you trying to get it off the bottom now?
Oh, you don't want to talk about you anymore.
How much time do we got?
Yeah. There's got to be a way to get out of this. Go ahead.
Okay. So
I've never seen Shane try to do that, but
that was good.
That was kind of a first.
I would like to say it's the first time I've ever seen.
Usually the other way around.
Yeah. You get some XP points for that.
You're great.
So where were you?
Go ahead.
Where was I? Oh yeah. So pre-internet, or as we know it now, 2007 or 8-ish, my brother was asking me at night when he had free calls. Well, in the afternoon I was here. Without free calls, that's how long ago it was. We tried to do some comic stuff, and it would always be like, he'd write me a script, you know, mm-hmm. 2 paragraphs. And then I'd have to be like, well, comics are like 20 pages, right? So I'd have to learn to make gutters and learn what gutters were for panels, and how to place art so you can actually put words on there, not just a full face and then cram it in there. Mm-hmm. And he would get it back and he goes, this is great, but I don't know what any of this means. I go, you wrote me 2 paragraphs, bro. Like, I don't know what... He's like, I don't remember what that was. I'm like, yeah, because it takes a week for anything to get to the mail. So once technology caught up, we were able to instant message through MySpace and Facebook and share galleries. And he was like,
it's been
Jeez, man.
Yeah, I missed the Friendster wave. But...
Yeah, no, those were good days. I got a lot of gigs as a musician through MySpace, actually. Having a MySpace music page.
Oh yeah.
It's all him and Tom Hardy.
Yeah. That was the rapping. Main thing it was from.
Yeah, like if you didn't have a business card, you'd just be like, hey, are you on MySpace? Yeah. Send me a friend request. All right, cool. We'll get together and jam.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of gigs that way, you know, early on.
No, yeah. To think about like how, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that long ago in reality, but
right.
Where things are
it,
now,
it is. Way, you know? It's ancient now. It's crazy.
When did MySpace start?
Bro. Like 2006 or something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
Yeah, 2003.
Yeah. I used to stay up and like decode my page and have like the
you had to learn like the matrix HTML.
Sign. The matrix sign, but it's all dollar signs.
You know what you wanted to do? You wanted to get the song on your profile that would get you the most girls in your messages.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But the craziest thing about MySpace was most of the time it was public on your wall, so everyone could just see the conversation you saying stupid crap to women.
Sure.
I just wanted to post a YouTube video on my wall.
I still have my page.
No way.
Oh, wow. They archived it.
Are there any dates anywhere?
Quan 5966.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
That's it.
That's it, everybody. You've been hacked.
Yeah, does it have your music on it still? No. Dang.
Oh, man. Last I heard, like maybe 10 years ago or so, they like, I think Justin Timberlake bought it.
What?
Because they were going to do it. They were going to do something. They were going to revitalize it. And then it just
didn't go anywhere.
It just didn't go
anywhere. Like, we started with music. We're going to end with music. And they're just like, I don't care anymore. I'm married to Jessica Biel. Let's go.
All right.
That's funny.
So please continue.
Yeah, MySpace.
Off track. So MySpace.
Back in the old days.
So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So my brother's 1960s. Like, he would, ask me, "What are you working on?" I, this or that. And he goes, "So you just draw on your sketchbook?" And I'm like, "Yeah." "Who's that for?" I was like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "Who's seeing that?" Again, all pre-social media. And I was like, "I don't know. I showed it at work, you know, some friends." And he's like, "Well, let's do something with that." I was like, "Well, if I'm going to do a book, I want to get paid, right?"
Yeah,
and he's like, "Don't we all?" But he's like, "You're already drawing for free for nobody."
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
So let's put that energy into a book. And so we did. So and he's like asking the questions like, "What's this? What's that?" I didn't know where to get paper from, the right size. I didn't know where to get the right tools. And he's like, "What would make it easier?" And I was like, "Maybe digital." You know, I'd heard about this program that they were using in Japan called Manga Studio. And so he's like, "Well, what would you need to do the best job with that?" And I was like, "Well, the dream is like a Cintiq, which is like an HD screen you can draw on." Yeah. And I was like, "But my computer's not fast enough to run
to even run that."
So yeah, it's, you know, big tube TV almost. And I'd get home and turn it on, go take a shower, clean up, eat dinner, come back, it's still warming up.
Right.
Oh yeah,
like, I remember those days. It was like two gigabytes.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that day.
Fucking turn the crank to get it started. And
hamster.
Yeah,
hamster wheel, just like going.
That kept my brain going. That's the only thing alive in there. So he's like, "All right, let's get you a new computer then." So I did, and then backtrack to like 2002 or 2003. He stopped by for a vacation, and he just surprised everybody, which was great. But like, I would have liked to have had a day off to hang out with him.
Hang out for sure.
And I had like one day, and he's like, "Hey, I'm working on this project. I want your help." And I was like, "All right, cool." It's like, I did designs for a kid's book, and I was supposed to draw it. I was like, "Supposed to?" And he's like, "Yeah, can you help me out doing it?" And I was like, "Well, when was it due?" He's like "A month ago."
Oh, no.
I was like, "Okay, cool, when is it due now?" And he goes, "Can you do it by tomorrow morning?"
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, "Are you kidding me?" And I did. Sick. I drew like a 13-page kid's book, and it's not like little kids doing stuff, because they were little kids. And then, right. But like, it's these things, and it's called the Wiggle Wobbles. They're these stout little dudes that look like footballs. They have long arms, feet, warts all over, 6 eyes, 2 mouths, 9 ears.
Not
like,
stick figures,
and there's three of them. And I got to draw all these guys in multiple poses, never before, overnight. I did it in like 13 hours or something like that. And turned it to him, and he added color and sent off to the guy. 4 years pass, something like that. He's like, "Hey, the Wiggle Wobble's done." I'm like, "What are you talking
where
about?
Is,
what is that?
What is that?
Yeah, and he's like, "You remember you did this book?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he's like, "Yeah, no, it was like overnight. I didn't live with it long enough to remember." So it took like an hour on the phone, just like, "No, you did this." I'm like, "You're crazy. I don't know what you're talking about." So it came in. I got some copies. I sold them. I got like a tablet that I could connect to my computer. And from there, I was running, and we did our first book. And I've been going ever since. So 2009, we started. We printed it in 2010. We have our second series we're still working on. And from there, I was able to go to conventions, meet other people, and they're like, "This is where you get paper from. This is where you go for printing. Nice. This is where you get the pens. This is the type of programs you can get to do this and that." And it's just been ongoing since
then. We met you at the Amazing Comic Con, I think.
Not the last one. I ran up and assaulted Shane.
Yeah.
You got
yeah,
that. Who's that? And
no, you came up and assaulted Shane. I said, "I like him."
I go, "Oh, that's Stone." And you're like, "Stone?" I go, "Yeah, I work with them at the job."
I was going to say, yeah, how we've far known back each other do you guys
like
go back?
9 hours over 20 years, over 40-second conversations.
We bumped into each other at our mutual job.
Yeah.
And we just... we cracked wise.
Of course. So yeah, we talk shit about people. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure what the language volume is on here.
Yeah, you're okay.
Just
okay.
Back and forth, like all the time. Yeah, and then yeah, we became fast friends, and here we are.
That's one cool. Person I knew was like, "Hey, this guy Shane also draws." And I'm like, "Cool." So yeah. I was looking for artists, and I said, "Hey, can you just do a character sketch or something?" And he did, and it's no arms, no legs, just like
a head,
a head and a torso. And I was like, "Cool.
Good. Cool."
Like, I maybe? Don't want to use that. It's in a box somewhere.
Let's just go back to being friends.
I don't know who told you I draw, but I barely draw. I just draw characters, and it's Frank knows this
more
too.
Than most people.
I mainly drew characters of Frank. Frank, the big eyes and all this stuff like that.
Cute man crush.
I just made fun of him at work. So people thought I was an artist, so that caught fire, but...
That was the start.
Caught fire, burned down.
I put him on the map.
I saw that. And I was like, you know what? Let's not do art. Let's just talk about nothing.
Nothing. And be friends. Sure enough,
and sure enough, it was 20 years of nothing.
And there was one time where Stone was doing. You were doing interviews. You did an interview
for the property. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I was in a band at the time. And
oh, that's right, my podcast, my now defunct podcast.
And he goes,
"The Aunties of Darkness."
Yeah, come over and talk about this, your band and whatnot. And all we did was just crap.
We were at Sam's Town and we ate and we just talked about nothing. Like, what was it like? There's some band called like the Purple Potato, something like that. It was a cover band of a Steely Dan or something like that. And we're like, how great would it be if Steely Dan opened for the Purple Potato? Like, it was
full circle.
Yeah,
full
circle. Like
it's like poetry. Like
they couldn't even headline their own show. It was so, I'll never forget that. It was so funny.
We riffed on that for like 30 minutes. It was the funniest thing ever. I think I got drunk. Matter of fact.
Oh, you do, you know?
Oh, surprise!
I had a good time.
And then I took advantage of it. Yeah.
Was Truly out back then? Was Truly,
no.
What was it? What were you drinking?
Jack Daniels.
I only drink Truly here. I drink.
It was what's it called? Was the 40s called?
Oh, OE.
OE.
Loco. That's how long ago it probably was.
Colt 45. I had a Colt 45. You know,
you gotta say.
No, I think you gotta talk through your teeth like Billy G. Williams. Yeah. Like, hey, I got this Colt 45 right here.
I've had one time, and I never went back to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what does it taste like?
Fine, whatever.
I don't know. Gasoline.
Gasoline,
dude.
Okay. And VO5.
Okay, so it's a paint thinner. So you just pour it under your car, and you can kind of blend in the scratches.
You could also put it in your car and run it.
Okay. Oh, so it has an octane rating.
Yes. Okay, great. Yes.
Okay. Heard. Okay.
If you're right out of
your
gas.
Skin doesn't get that glossy like Billy D without having
makes your engine run.
It.
I don't know how
gives you
we
confidence.
Even got to this topic.
Yeah, I don't either.
But
Shane drinking.
Yeah. Oh, Shane started talking about
always comes around to that.
Sure.
We're going to check out this trailer from this past weekend. I guess it's one of the more hyped trailers people have been talking about.
Why'd you say it like that? One of them more
hyped? One of them more hyped trailers.
We all go a little southern.
A little bit.
Darn tootin'.
Scotch.
Scotch.
See my belt buckles.
Scotch.
The official trailer, I guess teaser, dropped this past weekend during this, what was it, the Puppy Bowl?
Yeah, Usher's concert. Usher's concert.
During the Usher concert over the weekend.
Taylor Swift's after party.
The official trailer for Deadpool and his friend. We're going to check out the trailer real quick here.
I mean, he was really excited about that.
I am, dude. Of course you guys know how much I love Deadpool. I did a podcast with the Deadpool mask.
He's all serious. Sonny's all serious.
All right, okay.
Yeah, that wig is a hot mess.
That Alan Thicke hair is amazing.
But I'm happy. That is because of each and every one of you. I'm the luckiest man alive.
Make a wish, buddy.
Wade Wilson?
Who's asking?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Is that supposed to be scary?
Pegging isn't new for me, friendo, but it is for Disney.
That's an Emmy right there, or an Oscar.
Not an Emmy.
Country music award.
Wrong medium.
You soiled yourself while unconscious.
I wasn't unconscious. Who are you? Why am I here?
Walk with me.
Sure.
Wait.
It's Tom Wolfe.
I'm scared.
You are special. This is your chance.
Chance
to be a hero among heroes. I smell what you're stepping in, Sensei. Your little cinematic universe is about to change forever. I'm the Messiah. I am Marvel Jesus.
Stop, man. So sick.
God, please! Oh my fuck! God, I love this part.
Pyro.
Wait!
Yeah, Pyro.
Don't just stand there, you ape. Give me a hand up. Nope, I'm actually okay. Thank you very much.
It's not yet rated.
I like the fact that they call it Deadpool and Wolverine. It's not Deadpool 3. You know what I mean? That's kind of nice.
They trademarked a couple different names. It was Deadpool 3, Deadpool and Friends, Deadpool and Wolverine, and there was something else. I forget, but I'm glad they went with that one as well.
Yeah,
that's Deadpool and X-Force or something like that?
I'm not sure, but it looks awesome. I like how they didn't give us too much Wolverine, mm-hmm. but he's like in there, of course. Right, you know?
We've already seen the teasers, yeah.
That's fun.
Not a ton of stuff that we hadn't seen, but I mean, that's okay.
Right.
I'm all right with that.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna get our full of like cameos and, you know, wow moments and all that kind of stuff. We got Pyro. That's really cool.
That's really cool.
Kind of comic accurate suit that he was wearing, which I always respect. Deadpool's suit is a little bit like cooler. I don't know, more red, and I don't know. Looks a little cooler. Yeah. That reload scene was extra badass.
That's so great.
Sold for me. I don't know.
The kid, real quick note, I'm going to get your guys' reactions to the trailer over there.
No kidding.
The kid that did the Lego sequence for Across the Spider-Verse remade that sequence with Deadpool, with Lego Deadpool.
Really?
With
really?
Him loading the clips.
Is it good?
It looked cool.
Okay.
Yeah. That kid got hired because he made
it's like Legos make it 10% cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Minimum.
Absolutely. What do you guys think of the trailer, Paul?
I liked it. I didn't know that the TVA was going to be involved. I don't know how I feel about that. I definitely don't not like it, but it feels weird. Mm. And I think that's just because we're not used to seeing the Fox stuff in with the Marvel Studios stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so excited because I think, like, I've heard some theories and they're actually, I think, pretty interesting about how because he can break the fourth wall, he is the person that the TVA recruits to go and do whatever it is he's doing, because he, like, his mind, like, exists on, like, a different plane than everybody else's, and that's why he's the guy for the job. Probably just a fan theory, but an interesting one nonetheless. But the thing I'm really excited about this, and I'm sure that's most people, is the dynamic between him and Hugh Jackman and seeing them.
Sure.
I really love, Marcus and I were talking about it the other day. Marcus likes the yellow and brown, and he kind of wishes it was that. I love the yellow and blue Wolverine costume, and I'm so excited to see it in live action. Finally, him like being like something other than black leather or a tank top will be super cool. And I want him to get the mask at some point.
Like, they released images of the mask. It looks really dope.
Well, I heard, like, you're talking about that yellow and blue one that was like in a case. Yeah. I heard that was not for the movie. I heard it was just that, like, was a fan experience
thing. That was from the Wolverine movie, and they recolored the brown mask because it's from a cutscene. Because there were gloves in there.
Pissing me off.
When they open it up on the train or whatever. But no, I think it looked really cool, and I'm very excited to go back into this part of that universe. And Ryan Reynolds is a lot of fun to watch as Deadpool. And Hugh Jackman's dope.
Yeah.
What do you say? I smell what you're stepping in, Sensei.
Yeah.
Marcus, what about you, bud?
Some of the same sentiments. I mean, I'm excited because this was, you know, the Deadpool movies came out in a time when, you know, the Marvel Universe was good. So, so I'm looking forward to seeing some of that stuff that was good in that realm continue. Even without the TVA, you still kind of get a teaser for it it's going to be a multiverse. There's going to be something multiverse related in there because, wasn't his girlfriend killed in the second one?
Yeah. A lot of those people in that were dead.
He used Cable's time machine in the last movie. That's why the TVA is.
Yeah. The whole ending, it was his him slapping it and going, woo, and then going back and killing himself with Green Lantern. And killing himself in the
I love that.
Right. So even without the TVA, you still got that suggestion that there's going to be some multiverse implications, but at the same time with the TVA, I guess it does give you more of the modern connection, you know, with Loki and all the stuff that's actually good. So that's going to help it a lot. I have a soft spot for the John Byrne suit, the brown suit, as well as the X-Force, the black suit.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the banana suit as well, the Jim Lee suit, because the 90s X-Men was my era. That's what I grew up watching, you know, even before the comics. I was into the cartoons before I was into the X-Men comics. So that brings a lot of memories to me, for me, back up. And yeah, I want to see where we're going to go from here. Because at this point, I'm taking just everything at face value. I'm not really super excited for anything down the path after this, but I am excited for this movie. I'm taking I'm taking it a movie at a time at this point.
That's fair.
Yeah, at this point. No more far-reaching sort of like what is, you know, speculations.
And, just want this movie to be good.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
I agree.
That's fair.
James, is a two-parter question for you. First off, speaking of Deadpool, can you draw feet? And okay. What did you think of the trailer?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was really cool. Not to be the whole nerd about it, but the yellow suit started back in the 70s.
Oh, yes. You're right. So. You're right. With his first.
I still love you, though.
He's like, it. Nerd. Nerd. That's true. Hulk 181. He had the
banana suit.
The banana suit, but it was with the shorter
and
ears.
The whiskers.
Yep. And the whiskers. Yes, absolutely.
You guys are nerds.
Thank you. We rule the world. I appreciate that.
You notice how he dodged the feet thing, just like Liefeld.
I charge extra for feet. I've got books of feet right here.
Nice.
Oh, do you know?
Oh, I do.
Sonny would like to borrow those.
Shane, what did you think? Oh, wow. Well, Shane, what did you think of the trailer there?
No, what do you think I'm going to say? You think I'm going to say something wild and off the cuff?
Yes, probably.
Maybe.
Depending on how many Trulies are empty.
No, those are still.
They're still good.
Okay. He's all right.
He's all right. I dug it. I dug the Easter eggs that are inside it.
Of course you did.
Isn't there a Secret Wars book flapping around next to him?
When he's... out on his back before Wolverine helps him up.
Is he laying across the 20th Century Fox logo?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the dude in the white suit with his back at the table, people are saying that's going to be Patch or a joke about Patch.
Oh, okay.
That'd be cool. A joke in a Deadpool movie?
No.
that's unlikely.
Frank, what about you? What did you think?
Play it completely straight.
I'm excited for it. I like the first two Deadpool films a lot. So I'm looking forward to this. My only concern is, are they gonna land the? Is that gonna be like the most extreme joke that we get as far as the pegging thing? Are they gonna be able to get creative and push the boundary?
I was gonna say they were okay with a pegging joke in the commercial.
Then they should Disney's be. All
they
right.
should be.
People forget that Disney bought Miramax, and all the most violent Miramax movies came out after Disney bought
true.
Pulp Fiction, and
that's a good point.
Oh wow,
the Kill Bill movies, like that was all Disney.
That's true.
Oh wow,
they know where their money comes from. So.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
So it'll be worth my parental setting on Plus when I watch Deadpool in like 3 years.
Absolutely.
On the streaming.
Oh, right. So that should go. It should go on there. Are the other Deadpool movies on Disney Plus?
I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
They are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because Deadpool 2 came on TV and I was like, what am I doing?
That's the worst movie ever to watch on TV.
I know. Yeah, you can just go watch it on TV. This is a nightmare to watch on television.
Sonny watches Showgirls on TV.
Showgirls.
What is it like? Edit it down to like 60 minutes?
I mean, and the commercials and all this stuff and they cut out everything. So I'm just like, oh, I got the Plus. Let me just turn this on immediately. And I just started it right from where I was at.
And just had way more fun.
And had way 1,000 times more fun. That's about that time.
So have you guys seen any of the Troma movie DVDs? They had one for, not Romeo and Juliet, but a film like that. And they said, there's like a special PG version. And the movie starts with this woman walking down an alley. And a bottle hits her in their head and she falls over. And then like a car flips. Same car flip they use in every film. But like, here's the PG version. Woman walks down the alleyway. It's hit with a bottle, and then the credits roll. Like, I was like, that was amazing. Yeah. And I told Lloyd Kaufman when I saw him at a con, that I'm like, that's my favorite movie moment in any movie. Yeah. Plus, when he's the blind director, and he's looking this way, and the scene's over here, and he's like, now show me horror.
I had a quick question. Who do you guys want or would like to see from any franchise pop up in this movie?
You.
I would love to.
Is he franchised?
What if I just was in the movie and I just didn't tell you guys? That'd be cool.
Some kind of
that would be a foul.
I would tell you guys. I would break the NDA.
And be the fact that you weren't even asked and you gave your opinion on Deadpool, you would tell everyone.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. Hey guys,
I'm in this movie.
Who would you like to see in the
Nightcrawler?
Movie? Nightcrawler.
Okay. Which one?
Kurt.
No, he meant like the emo one or Alan Cummings.
The emo one.
The one with real accent.
No, Jake
Gyllenhaal.
Alan Cummings, but that would never happen.
Jake Gyllenhaal's Nightcrawler.
That'd be dope.
Perfect.
That's such a good movie.
That is a great movie.
I would like to see Ben Affleck Daredevil.
That would be fun.
That's what Brendan Riley said in the chat.
Oh, really? Yeah. Me and him are friends.
That might be.
Yeah. No, there was just news of Elektra coming back, and I think that that would be pretty funny to see.
They
Ben
asked
Affleck.
Her, like, she was doing some press for something else, and she was just like, I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
God, here we go.
It's like, so Ewan McGregor lied for like 2 years. He's like, I don't know about Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
like, he's like, the beard is just normal.
Like, I just got a beard.
It would be cool to see them kind of introduce either, yeah, more X-Men, kind of like the, what they teased with
Beast,
with Beast and the Marvels, and then have like maybe more of the people that we are familiar with in X-Men, or maybe even drop some Fantastic Four hints or something like that. You know, whatever is down the line, I guess you can say.
Marcus, you know what I dug about Deadpool so far, like the first two Deadpools, is that somebody got Colossus right.
Right. This is true.
I grew up loving Colossus. Yeah.
Somebody finally got Colossus correct.
It's like segmented lines on the arms.
Like he looks like he is a real being. Right. Like finally.
That's he's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. They did and it. And they show him for copious amounts of time without, you know, it's seeming weird, like the other X-Men films.
This is true. And even Juggernaut was done well, but he needed to be
good.
He needed to be like, I don't know, meaner? Used more? Or, you know, if he was actual a character instead of just a brunt of jokes the whole time, you know.
I feel he's like better in small doses.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I liked
him. People feel
that
like the Punisher is great when he shows up in other people's books.
Right.
And he has like miniseries, but if you try to do an ongoing, it's tough watching a dude just be a serial killer. That's really all he is.
I have no problem.
I don't know. Those are kind of some of my favorite shows.
I like the
first season.
I love Dexter too. Yeah.
Like, it's actually really easy to watch. I fall asleep to Dexter sometimes.
Serial killer podcast. I listen to those too. Yeah.
That's like his go to sleep show.
No, they thought I was crazy. I used to watch like The Walking Dead to go to sleep, and everyone was like, "That's insane." And I'm like, "Why? I've seen it.
Nothing happens in those shows. That's great to fall asleep."
It's just season three when they're on the farm. It's just
them talking,
dead talking.
I'm talking like the whispers.
That's what happens when you work off a first draft script. You know,
my word, Paul. Who did you say besides Jake Gyllenhaal?
I think it would be cool to, I don't, maybe not one of the characters, but like a hint towards the Fantastic Four. I think that's what I want.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like, I don't know, maybe like a poster with like
a four on it.
If they like, they could just have like Deadpool hold something up, like a newspaper with Reed Richards' face on it, and say something stupid about it, like Pedro Pascal or something. I don't know. I think that would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah. To be like, did you see that these idiots are the Fantastic Four now?
Yeah. Yeah.
A poster with a four on it? Just a four.
Just a four.
A blue four with a circle. Four.
You joke. That's all we had for 2 years.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
I tell people all the time, we sat through two terrible Fantastic Four movies and we wanted more. Nobody knows how bad it was in the old days.
Yeah.
Three terrible.
Three. I was thinking three.
Well, no, officially released, not the Roger Corman one. We all
the first one and then the sequel, Silver Surfer, and then they did
the one that came out with Michael
and then they did the really bad one.
Yeah. Fanforstic,
That was bad.
That was so bad I forgot about it.
PTSD blocked that out.
Fair.
That was
naked sticks.
That was brutal.
Silent Dreamer in the chat says Gambit. Maybe like a Channing Tatum Gambit.
That'd be cool.
That would be dope.
Not Taylor Kitsch though. None of that. I don't want to see him.
They've been rumoring Gambit being part of the MCU for like 10
a
years
hot minute.
Or an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
For like 10 plus years.
That'd I think cool he even said something payoff. About like he was stoked about it and it kind of just didn't go anywhere. And, you know.
Oh, yeah. Until the leaks. And then we got Spider-Man in the MCU and all that stuff just went away because they're like, well, they're going to buy us any time now. So,
yeah.
Maybe
and we're like,
happen.
Finally.
Yeah.
And then we got New Mutants.
Yeah. I mean, God.
Damn, that movie sucked.
That has to be hands down one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Well, get ready.
It's right there.
Get ready,
because
tonight there's something on deck that might take the title.
Yeah. Get ready.
I feel like this will be more fun.
Yeah.
What, because of the plot of Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah, but so as far as New Mutants, I think we've told this story a couple times. It was me, Frank, and our buddy Adam. Yes, I knew you weren't there.
And I was a corrections officer at the time, and we had just got pepper sprayed the same day we went to see New Mutants. And I walked out of the movie, and I said, that was the worst thing that's happened to my eyes all day.
Oh, after being pepper sprayed.
And I had got pepper sprayed 6 hours beforehand.
That was just overall a bad day, because then Jonathan was messaging us when the movie was over. That's the day the day we saw that was when Chadwick Boseman died.
Oh, it was all that that's day. Right.
I was
that's
like, right. Paul got pepper sprayed. I said, this movie sucks.
And I said, speaking of pepper spray,
like, this is like terrible. Yeah. It's like, it was like just a bad day overall. Made the movie worse.
All right. New Mutants or Wonder Woman 1984?
You know what?
Wonder Woman 1984.
And what, that are worse?
I haven't seen it. What would you say is better? Which one is worse?
Like, Wonder Woman 84 is a more cohesive movie.
Definitely.
Yeah. Gal Gadot.
Yeah. To me, New Mutants felt
84
like...
84 is a better movie.
Yeah. To me, New Mutants felt like more like it was one of those movies where it was like, it started off as like, it felt like an extended, like, special of Stranger Things. You know? It felt like, I was like, is this a teenage angst movie? Is this a horror thing?
Well, it was supposed to be straight up horror, and then they chopped it into oblivion.
Right. And I'm like, okay, and then there's this, you know, I didn't know about the demon bear at the time, but I was like, okay, now we have a bear. Okay, so what's
the bear for?
Yeah, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Isn't that
what
the funniest thing? Like, one of the funniest things about that movie, like, that old, like, story is about wolves, not bears. Like, there's two bears that live inside you. That's not the fairy tale. It's wolves.
Yeah, that was a bad
weird movie. Everything about that movie is
didn't
weird.
They originally market that movie took like 3.5 years.
The
to
trailer
come out.
Came out like 2 years before the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then they tried to market it as a really straight up horror film.
Yeah.
And then they did another year of reshoots.
It was like Stranger Things 3
to fix the movie.
Stranger Things 3.
I think it was an article. It might have been on Twitter at the time or something. Something X now. It was something that was saying that they literally, like, the CEO of, I think it's Fox who released it, was so, you know, he was pissed. He was like, we had enough time to reshoot this whole entire movie and we released this. And it's so bad. It got so bad to the point where the director of it, he actually deleted all his social media.
Oh.
Yeah. So he went and he's getting death threats. Yeah.
This movie sucks.
It was terrible. And it came out what? It came out during COVID too, I think. It
came out in 2020.
Yeah.
Not a good time.
So yeah, because I think I remember seeing that around the time I saw Black Widow. And then maybe Tenet too.
It came out within a couple of weeks of Tenet.
Okay.
Yeah. It came out like a month before Tenet came out, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. What if it came out like near Tenet and like, I'm sure that there was already a box office fail, but I'm sure like that would have not helped at all.
Oh man. Yeah.
Remember, there's nothing for us to watch. We watched Tenet in theaters like 5 times. Yeah. I think.
I saw it a few times.
It was worth every time.
Tenet was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a very cool movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just watch Tenet tonight.
That you'll watch it one time and be like, no, that makes sense. And then you'll watch it the next time and then be like,
Frank,
don't tempt me with a good time.
Don't Tenet you.
Don't tip me.
Austin's sitting over there shaking in his boots. He's going to get shaken by Mark.
Shaking in his boots, getting shaken?
Do people know that story about those DFX seats?
I don't even know if anybody...
We were... So, do you want me to tell a chain?
Yeah. He was going to, but you can go and say it.
When you were with Frank on, you tell the story. You do it best.
With Paul's comedic timing, yeah, he's going to do it justice.
Shane, go ahead. No, I'm not saying a word now. Everyone got a little butt hurt, so go ahead.
Actually, Shane, Sonny,
you tell it.
I wasn't there.
Sonny wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
Basically,
that doesn't make it funny.
Austin got a concussion because of how excited Marcus was to talk about Tenet, because it came on TNT or something. Yeah. And we were watching it at Tacos and Beer, and he was shaking Austin so violently.
He was so happy that Tenet was on.
Yeah, he needed a brain scan afterwards.
An action scene from Tenet was on, and Marcus was watching it.
Oh, man.
And he just was going berserk and shaking.
Well, I can't remember which scene it was.
Violently.
Was it the kitchen? Like,
it wasn't a scene, Marcus. You did it the whole movie.
Oh, okay.
It was the opening credits.
Oh, look who's starring on it. Austin's face was pure terror.
He ran screaming from the building. I heart that movie so much.
Never to be seen again.
My favorite Steelbook. It is.
James, with the process, are you going back and forth with your brother with writing?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a segue.
Did you ever think about writing a movie for Christopher Nolan? No. Did you ever think about doing that?
Yeah. Is that one that came
Did you ever shake anyone over it?
Did that ever come
in enthusiasm, he means. Yes. Not violently, in a domestic violence sort of situation.
Violently.
He was shaking with beer. No, he's masturbating. Yeah, but that's beer.
No, seriously. No, you got him started. No, you got him started now.
I didn't say anything. I don't want it.
Not yet. Awesome. But, like, what was the process for you, like, going...
Stay on
like,
path.
Fast forward to now, mm-hmm. as far as your process of putting the books together, is there like the script and mapping everything out? How closely are you working with your brother still a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Steve, by the way.
Shout out Steve.
Yeah. Shout out Steve.
Hey, man.
Shout out Steve.
Which is also a shout out to my dad. So
hey.
My dad.
He's not watching because he hates technology.
He has nothing to do.
Shout out
even your even though you're on here tonight, he's just like nope.
He's like no, I'm good,
he couldn't
dude.
Be bothered.
You can tell me about it later, bro.
We're broadcasting on
write
MySpace.
Write me a report about it.
Yeah. Later we'll go to the house and shake him.
Shake and bake.
Yep. College ruled paper, number two pencil. Write me a report.
Complete trench.
You know, I was on this podcast.
He won't read that either.
Crazy. These dudes were nuts. Stop.
And we're insane, and thank you, Paul.
He'll get it through Western Union and Wells Fargo.
You're putting in a
the
money
night's
order?
A dark, father. Stop. Yeah,
double space, please.
Oh, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Stop. No spaces between words. I have to save money.
I don't know how, but I feel like this was Frank's fault.
Which part?
No, the derail.
The derailing.
Bringing us all together.
I actually think you did it.
He answered the question. He didn't answer the question. He just evolved. That's all.
It is.
So anyway.
So technology is what really
technology,
helped out.
Technology, that's
yeah. Yeah.
We work together. We talk almost every single day, especially since like before COVID, which is a long, long story that I don't know if we have time for, but.
We don't.
Jane knows. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll tell it then. 2019, I was in the hospital for most of the year, suffering from a very rare stroke. Oh. And my brother, again, who lives in Florida, flew out the next week. And it happened in like July. And I woke up in August and I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what happened. Long story short, I had to learn to walk again and eat again and all this stuff. And then COVID hit. So double banger.
Damn.
Yeah. And then so furloughed for like a couple of years and I hit my 20th anniversary and they're like, you're fired. And I'm like, I'm going to be a full-time artist because I don't have any other skill set because I worked at one job for 20 years and I was 20 when I started. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's basically a back and forth. We have an overall idea of what we want to do with the story. And then we plan out the issues almost as we go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a matter of like, we just kind of talk our way through it and I'm there sketching out as we talk, I'll sketch out moments. And sometimes I'll have an idea for a story and I'll just lay out the entire issue and then send him the photos and then we'll talk about it and go over each page. And then he'll develop the script around that. And then we'll tie in other story elements to finesse things. And between that and only being able to get like a book done a year and then also again doing conventions, meeting new people, meeting new friends who also make comics, they're also like, hey, we need to hire you for this. So I see other scripts from other people. Some are more long format, where there's like panel one, panel two, panel three. And one guy, he'll kind of do it the way we did back in when I was a kid, give him like a paragraph and go pages one through four. Two people are on horses talking and they enter the town. Mm. That's it. And then you get five through seven and it's like they go to this tavern. And he'll send me like photo references of all this stuff because it's like historical fiction.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah. And he'll show me like the entryway to the town and the restaurant that these Old West serial killers lived in. And so it's been different back and forth with different creators that I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes like I'll just, like I even wrote one of those stories myself and I just kind of wrote it as I drew it. Like I just was throwing in cool stuff I love like film noir, Dashiell Hammett, and I love Hellboy, and I love monsters.
Mm.
Sin City, and I threw all that stuff into this story, and then I wrote the script and then did little art changes here and there. And it's the most fun I'd had on a book in a long time doing that one. And then from there, like, I met this guy a few years ago. He always wanted to do a children's book. So I was like, yeah, I can help you with that. Do some designs. Next thing you know, I mean, we got it done. He got cold feet. I was like, what happened? It was like 3 years. I go, why didn't this come out? And he goes, oh, I didn't know anybody would like it. And I go,
what?
And I'm like, I get it. Because it can be a lot to put yourself out there.
Right.
And I go, well, you know what you do then, right? You do it again. He's like, well, what if they don't like that? I go, then you do it again.
Right.
Inspiration.
Because you will find your audience. I've been doing it since 2009. And people we knew at work, they're seeing I'm going to conventions and stuff. Like that really tall dude who complained about his knees all the time.
Shane?
No. No. This guy's like...
I'm glad somebody said it.
James Jones?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, you still doing that? I go, yeah. And he goes, why aren't you famous yet? I go, have you bought my stuff? And he's like, no. And I go, that's why. What am I doing here? You know?
Oh, perfect response.
I will say this. Shane is one of the early adopters, though. Anytime I had something new coming out, he's always like,
there you go. Man.
That's nice.
Shane bought a comic?
He bought almost all of them.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
that's good.
But it may be like my dad because he doesn't know a single character. He's never read it or.
Come on, Big Steve.
Of course,
you did. I mean, but you go cool, and then
no, I did not do that. I mean, but here's the thing with Stone drew. Like, he would draw me stuff. He would just out of nowhere. He'd present me with something that was cool. Like he drew me Gene Simmons once, like ooh. Flying, like oh, flying. Kids. You know, yeah, like the, kids. Yeah.
That was at the podcast.
And I hung that up. You drew me like I don't know if it was supposed to be Conan or it was just like with this.
It was a print. I had, yeah. I was telling about this piece I had done that nobody was picking up, and it looked like a Fire and Ice, that old Frazetta movie. And I was like, I just wanted to draw a barbarian with an axe and like these horns.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And then he's just like, bring one in. I was like, all right.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom. Sold one.
I'm a big fan of yours.
5 years later, sold them all.
Was Conquest the first?
That's the very first one. Yeah. Okay. You got all of those.
Right. For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. This is a cute little thing happening right here.
Yeah, it is a real meet cute. This is really nice.
I like people, okay, Paul? Is that okay with you?
No.
Oh.
This is a long conversation we've had that didn't involve like, oh, you're on your lunch break too? He's eating, you know. Well, he's got a giant beet salad. Yeah.
Giant beet salad with like goat beets. Cheese and arugula.
Shane consumes things that aren't garlic arugula. Nuts and trulies.
Arugula.
At work. Yeah. Pizza. Boy,
no, I'm honestly, I'm a big fan of like organic stuff happen like that. Not organic arugula.
What are you like, talking about?
No, like things happening like at work. That's how this thing started.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
relationships.
Like, just like...
I'm a big fan of arugula.
I'm a big fan of organic arugula. Yeah. Little peppery, delicious with roasted beets and goat cheese.
No, Sonny, you're
trying to be like sentimental.
Sentimental, yes, you're correct. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is how this started.
I'm glad we derailed that sentiment.
Yeah.
You guys want to be nice and sweet about each other? Arugula.
I'm glad that Sonny can't see me today because I feel like it makes it harder for him to be mad at me.
No, seriously. No,
he's still mad. I can see it on his face.
No, for real.
I don't like you.
He's upset. I can tell.
He's like,
I don't like you.
Spur this moment along.
Welcome, James. We need arugula and counseling and truly.
That's what this is
pizza,
about.
Pizza, garlic knots.
This is what it's about. Hey, guys, I actually had pizza the other day. Jalapeno, pepperoni, and pineapple.
Nice.
Very, very delicious.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't complain.
Just writing that down.
I didn't complain the entire time.
Okay. And where was this at?
Yeah, where? Wasn't it with us?
Right?
Sorry, guys. Wow. It was delicious, though.
That's a me thing, guys.
Yeah. Wow. I was with him. We were eating pizza together.
For those of you that don't have context, Sonny doesn't like pizza. I don't know what kind of human being
he is. I don't think he likes to eat pizza with us.
It's not that. I just prefer chopped cheese or tacos over pizza.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
All right. Am I wrong?
So there? It's a preference thing.
It's a preference thing.
He likes to be waited on at restaurants.
I do. I do.
Pizza is a lie, everybody.
Yeah.
No, I do. I do that, is all that day. It is.
It's, I know, honestly, this is not what this show is about. Yeah.
Preferences on, you know, after. No, I do. I rather.
Sonny, your shirt is so cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The red. You're looking at the cool logo part. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just trying to get us away from talking about food.
This is what we do, man.
My goodness. My goodness.
I'm hungry.
Frank, please.
Wow. Arugula is Sonny's safe word. That's what.
You did bring some original. Some of your work we're going to check out.
Oh, Sonny's, I also brought some. You asked for recommendations on stuff. So yeah, I picked up some of this stuff that.
What do you got?
Well, I mean, first I got to give a shout out to these guys, Phil Bach Brothers.
Cool cover. Ooh.
They worked on the Clone Wars comic books after Genndy Tartakovsky, that style. They did that for 9 years, and now they're working for First Comics, and they're doing craziness. Like, they do really heartfelt stuff. There's one called Cadaver Dogs, which is about this soldier who he brought his cadaver dog with him back from the war, and he's got PTSD, but the dog would hunt for dead bodies of soldiers at the war. So the dog has also got some trauma with it as well, and there's this murder mystery, and it's just amazing. And then they'll do ones like, this is kind of like if Ripley's Believe It or Not artifacts were real. Ooh. And Jack Burton from Big Trouble Little China was driving it around trying to keep it safe. He's got he's got a talking skull of an Indian chief. He's got, it's nuts. It's crazy. They do so many things. Like, they have a book called Napalm Nick where this guy turned another human into a flamethrower by kicking him in the gut, and as he farts, he lights a lighter under his butt and just kills a bunch of dudes in a bar. Yeah, but not on accident.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
mine's intentional.
This is one of the. It's I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Jim Kowalski is the character's name, and they've done two different novels for this character, and Illuminati Transport. That's the name of this.
I think Stephen Lolito told me about those guys.
Yeah, they're
incredible. Shout out Stephen.
Yeah, man. Huge supporters.
Shout out Stephen.
I've known them since 2014, one of the first Amazing Las Vegas shows. Okay. Another artist, and he was like, hey, these guys over at First Comics are looking at portfolios. And I was like, I don't really have a portfolio, but I'll bring over my books. That could be my portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I ran over there, and I didn't know who the editor was, but I saw these two dudes, and they're wearing cowboy hats. And I was like, I guess I'll talk to these guys. And turns out they're also, I guess I'll talk to these guys.
I don't know if these are the guys I'm supposed to talk to. Let's talk to them.
Well, it turned out to be the best of circumstances. They're brothers, and they work together on comics as well. And I was like, holy crap, me too. I got a brother, and he's older, and he works with me on comics. And they're looking at the stuff I was doing, and it was all digital then. And when are we ready?
I'm sorry. Sonny and I had a moment there. I knew exactly what he was going on.
Get a salad and step away.
Arugula! Oh, brother. I apologize.
It's all right.
Continue.
Yeah, so I was working digitally then, and they were looking at the work frame. I did. What are you doing?
There you go. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
He's never coming back.
Never coming back.
No, he's not. Oh, what are you kidding?
What are you talking about? I'm the seventh member of this podcast.
He thrives in this environment.
It's true.
You got to get super famous so Paul can fawn all over you. That's the problem.
That's the thing. Now. You could be an early adopter.
That's what you need to do. Oh, God. As soon as you get super famous, like, Paul is going to be just droning on about how much he loves your stuff.
Wait, was that a straight bullet? Oh, my God. Straight shots.
Just saying.
He's a little red in there. No over big there in the deal. Corner.
He's finished two Trulies. Did you bring some of your own stuff there?
I did. I got Stephen Lito's new book.
Yeah, baby. Ooh. Math Magician.
Sign number one.
Is this going to be for Copper Drop or like hold anything?
I'll hold anything.
Copper
Drop. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure. You asked what I had, so
yeah, I want to see it all.
Yeah, he does.
The stuff he brought.
Stuff
he brought, perv.
Oh, man.
He's dancing. Why are you dancing?
It was a little hot ticket there.
We're not the club.
A little spicy there.
All right, wait.
Fantastic.
Let me see you.
This is a sketch cover for the trade.
Ooh.
All six issues of the first series, Conquest, as Shane mentioned. And this is a sketch cover edition that my brother put out while I was in the hospital part of the fundraiser.
Oh, wow.
Called the James Strong edition. That was his kind of tag. He made like wristbands and stuff like that. Did a GoFundMe for me. And
nice.
Between them and then like Cosmic Comics Alternate Reality.
Oh, great.
Of course.
A few of the other shops.
Of course, Ralph is one of the greatest people in the history of this planet.
It's true. Amen. Amen. They started, they did a fundraiser at Cosmic Comics. And Ralph and a bunch of other people, they called up everybody they knew, like J.H. Williams, who did Batwoman. He brought in a piece of art to be auctioned off for part of the fundraiser.
Cool. Wow.
People came in, they saw my face on the flyer for it, and they're like, I know him. He did a sketch of Batman for my kid. I can't make it, but here's $20. They said, I can't make it. Here's $10. Here's $20. They said all day people would do that. He did a sketch for my kid on Free Comic Book Day.
That's cool.
And we did that just for the people that came in. And, you know, you make some tips, you sell some of your stuff, and, you know, you think, oh, cool, you get some store credit. And they raised thousands of dollars.
That's awesome.
Like, they covered almost all my medical bills. And a lot of what's just like, we love that guy. He sketches for us every year, you know, and it's awesome. So, like, so they did these, you know, as part of the fundraiser. And all my friends and some people I didn't even know came out, did sketches for tips as well as that event.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's really
cool, man. I think I gave $20, but I said I hate that guy. I never liked
him. No, it's a true testament to how strong the comic community is here.
No, that's really cool.
It's so great here. Like you wouldn't think it when you think of Las Vegas, you don't think of comics. Let's just be honest. So it's kind of so. Yeah, you're the only one.
I'm over here pouring my heart out. Like, the community saved my life.
Yeah. He's like,
you don't think about it.
You don't think about nothing.
So the fact that, you know, we have a community that's so tight about comics here in Las Vegas, the gambling capital of the world.
Showgirls.
And
Sammy Davis Jr.
And a big glowing ball that's billions of dollars.
Oh,
you know, it's like, man, that's super awesome.
Big glowing ball,
Yeah.
I agree.
Can we start staying more landmarks? Come at your nose.
It literally is about to shoot out of his nose right there, dude.
That is...
quite the inspirational story for him to be laughing.
What else you got?
All right, what else you got?
I was going to say, look at Frankie. He's like, please just keep going.
No, please.
Every week.
Gosh, I got to do this every week, I know. Bro. And then I've also got Cape Haven.
Ooh, hey!
This is the brand newest title.
So I'm got buying that right now.
Six issues of that.
Here, take my money. I used to do that work. Just take my money. I don't care what it's about.
Like,
What
it's about? That's another story. Let's go.
That's for another
Buckle
episode.
Up, everybody. Yeah. That's why I was like, how much time do we have?
No, tell us what it's about.
Okay, so 2012, my brother got married.
Mm-hmm.
2013, I flew out for Christmas, and I was like, I was going to spend 3 weeks out there. I was like, maybe I'll go to Disney World for the first time in my life. Any Disney. Do all the cool stuff out there. I show up on Christmas morning, and he's kind of acting a little weird. I'm like, no. Not that guy.
That's weird.
He was just he was happy to see me, but he wasn't quite
kind of preoccupied.
Yeah, he's preoccupied. I was like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And so we get back to his place, and I expected to see his wife there, and she wasn't there. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Oh no!
And yeah, cut two. He's like, oh, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm like, oh, mom and dad vibes. Yeah, you guys are breaking up. That's what happened.
Oh no!
I know. I also know from my own experience that happened. I can tell the vibes. So Christmas Day, she's like, we're done, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, let's do something so you don't go on the holidays, you know, while I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, Frank's like, great. We're doing this now.
So you don't.
Yeah.
So you don't. Yeah.
So
he always loves the idea. Yeah. Fucking hanging from a noose.
Pour himself the gasoline.
This is going way too far.
And me and Paul are over here just watching.
Yeah, of course.
Over here just watching.
Oh. Just like, join in. I know it's stopped.
Turn on the car, close the garage.
Last two times I joined in, I got yelled at, so no, I can't.
That would have worked, but he has an electric car, so.
All right,
so he loves the idea of public domain characters. He just is infatuated with it. And he's like, look at all these public domains. So we researched hundreds of public domain characters from like Sherlock Holmes and Tarzan and, you know, Snow White, Little Mermaid. You just can't do other companies' versions of that. You can't do Disney's Snow White, but you can make your own Snow White.
Mm.
And we found one, or at least I found one. And I was like, there's a character called Hugo Danner. And it was an interesting name. And I looked it up and I'm like, he's in a book written by a guy named Philip Wiley. And in the book, he has descriptors of the powers of this character as like proportionate to an ant, like an ant, and also be able to leap like a grasshopper, but it would, the equivalent would be a human leaping building tall buildings in a single bound.
Ah, oh, Shane.
What?
It's all the beats that makes you leap. All
right, go ahead.
And so basically what happened, what we learned is this guy wrote Superman before Superman. He wrote it in 1930.
Oh, wow.
And Siegel and Shuster, so I guess back in the 50s, were like, oh yeah, we borrowed from that guy. And by borrowed, they mean completely stole. Like, oh, so when God. The beginning of Action Comics number one, there's a description of Superman's powers in the show, like a bug and then the leaping. It's word for word from this book called The Gladiator that Philip Wiley wrote.
Oh wow.
And we're like, that's really interesting. So this guy's proto-Superman. This guy is the first version of Superman. And we're thinking of other firsts, and so we're thinking of like, what was the earliest symbol that humanity found? And one of the earliest ones we found was like this simple triangle with three dots, and it's land, air, water, and fire for the sun at the top. So we made that the symbol.
Oh, right there.
And thank you. I'm glad my simple drawings. Yeah. And
it's like the triangle, three dots. We're like, oh my God.
All together now.
I would drop the mic, but it's connected. Hey.
Well, that's cool.
Just throw your headphones out.
This was cool.
Yeah. All right.
And
what else you got?
So
take a sip.
So
take a sip, Shane.
We took this character.
Okay, yeah, Marcus. Marcus.
Take a sip.
So we took this character and we said, okay, we'll make him our hero character. Like, he gets our universe started. And we took the concept of the origin of this character, which was kind of an a-hole, really. He's just like kind of the worst. And like, what if we'll tell that story in this book, and then we'll tell you that that's just the legend, none of that is real. This is what's really happened. So we're telling the story in current time, and then through some of the stories we'll flash back to other adventures he's had. And then we thought, well, we can also incorporate this into other public domain characters. So if this character has been around 1,000 years, right, he could have started other legends before cameras and recorded history. So like, what if during part of his travels, he went to England for 20, 30 years and started a detective agency with a guy named Watson. And his fake name that he created persona was Sherlock Holmes.
Ooh.
And then like, well, what if he went down to the jungles of Africa and started the legend of Tarzan? Because like, oh, we see this white ape. He's down there in the jungle. We could do that with Zorro, his public domain. He could have gone to California, you know, before the big land grab.
How many issues are you on right now?
We're only on issue 6 plus a one shot that I wrote. That's the one I was telling you about, the film noir, like,
oh, okay,
Sin City meets Hellboy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that takes place in like Chicago in the 40s, or he's part of a detective agency that he started, and he's trying to find a missing girl. Can't find her, taps into connections he has, the character that's like our Doctor Strange. And I hate to use the type of it, but that's the best it is. And so they find the girl together, and then next thing you know, there's like this demon occult that is trying to sacrifice her, and they have to save her, and you know, so there's a conclusion.
Cool,
thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
very cool.
So we took other public domain characters and we changed them and adapted them to suit our needs. Like, we wanted a character that's more dark and broody, kind of a Batman, and we found a character that was quite ridiculous from the 40s. He's been in Dynamite Comics. He's called the Owl. He's all purple. And in like a gimp suit and a red cape, and he's got this weird little beak, and he's got like not even owl like feathers, it's like these little dangly things on his head. And I'm like,
Shane's Halloween costume,
birthday costume. What are you talking about? My birthday,
yes.
But so I was like, you know what? I think I can do better than this guy did back in 1948, you know, or whatever it was. And so he kind of became our Batman character. And he's got like real feathers. He's got like an owl wings type cape. And then we also had the idea of like, hey, we created hundreds of characters as kids. Let's throw them in there. So back when we were kids, we had these characters. My dad was like, hey, make some characters up. And we threw those guys in too. Because it's in a city that the character, main character, had founded. like back in the year, like say 1900 or so, he's like, I have this thirst for adventure, but I want to have a place to come back to. So he started a small fishing village and then he left and he came back 1,000 years later. Now it's a giant mega city, but there's no Superman character to keep everybody in line. So there's vigilantes and supervillains and, you know, gangsters just running amok. It's like Gotham Metropolis had a baby and it's just chaos. Mm. Well, he discovers there's some type of overall mystery happening. He comes home, but it's a nut house. So he's got to come in and clean house. So that's the main, one of the reasons he's come back. Plus, like, other heroes are missing and nobody knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's the underlying story as well.
Insane.
Yeah. And so
it's six issues and you just, the one shot is not out yet. It's out.
No, it's out. They're all out. Yeah. Okay. It's just, I haven't gotten a chance to do number 7. I've had to do a move a few months ago. So,
yeah.
Very nice.
So movies and streaming stuff, I was like, I haven't seen anything in like 7 months.
What's the title called?
Well, it's K-Paper, but it's called Welcome to K-Paper, which is based on the play, like the Welcome to signs, outside of towns. Yeah. And a friend of mine was like, it should look like a Welcome to whatever sign. And I go, yeah, but another book did that already. And I don't want to, you know, I think it's called Welcome to Tranquility. It was from Image. Yeah. And it's almost the same. I never read it, but it's a big setup of like old retired heroes live there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like young upstart heroes come in. There's like one guy's like emoji and his face is like that mask that has lights up, but it's got yeah. And it's like, that's MySpace. Yeah.
And where can people find this comic?
You can find it to read. I have a few issues of each series, Conquest and Capen, on immortalsamurai.com.
Ooh, okay.
That's very cool. Very cool.
That is cool. Nice.
We actually just started a Kickstarter for the revamp of issues 1 and 2 because they were started in the middle of a divorce and we didn't know what we were doing. I was just trying to keep them busy. Yeah.
Oops.
Wow. And I was like, hey, and my brother's like, Fair enough. I think we know what we're doing. I go, well, we're on issue 6. I would hope so. He's like, no, but we can fix issues 1 and 2. So I went back and redrew both of them and I've almost got the first issue completely colored in. Oh, I mean, on top of doing a job every day and, you know, minus a 4-year gap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you can do the job you did before or your only other skill set, which is drawing. I was like, I guess I got to do that.
Do the drawing.
Yeah. Well, it worked until, you know, it didn't. And then I
had to use covers.
Yeah, go for it.
Enough. Well, no, I mean, speaking about all the covers, we only got like maybe like 18 minutes left.
Yeah,
oh, that is really cool. I want to know what you guys brought.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's an important part.
This is a copy drop.
An important segment. I know. So you got a couple. What'd you bring? Like 2 or 3? Probably like 2 or 3 over back there.
You got stuff over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got stuff.
I got a thing.
We'll let you start. What did you bring for like a little copper drop? Well, I guess we'll let Shane decide of the copping and dropping. But what did
I
you?
I think
bring?
I can do that.
Can you do that?
Now it's time for a cop or drop.
I don't.
Yeah. I don't think that's what it meant. Oh. Thank you, Kwani. Let's start with James Stone. James Stone, what do you got?
Kwani.
What do I got? I got the brand new Conan from Titan Comics.
Oh, cool.
It is.
It's a cool cover.
It's amazing. It. I don't know if you guys know your Conan history, but does that not look like John Buscema?
Yeah, it does a lot.
It's not, though. Yeah. Even the inside is this quality. It's Roberto De La Torre.
Okay.
He has become John Buscema. Like, it's awesome. His style used to be very early 2000s.
That's a tattoo.
Yeah, that's really
cool.
But,
like, every panel inside is straight incredible. Like, I can't believe this guy has done this with his art. And you think, like, oh, he just lifted panel. No, it's like he's just hit him. It's so good. I'll let you flip through. I got a couple more.
What'd you bring?
I also got all these. Like the Engfield Gang Massacre. Ooh,
that's a really cool cover, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a Western it's based about
Jacob
this gang.
Phillips, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's super cool. And I've been drawing Westerns for years for a friend of mine, Greg Boucher, who I think you should also have on the show. He does sci-fi Westerns. Kind of like,
very cool.
Yeah, one of his books is about an alien that crash lands on Earth before the Battle of Little Bighorn. Gets taken prisoner by Custer. He breaks free, pulls a ray gun on a guy, and then escapes, meets an immortal who works in Sideshow, and they form a detective agency.
Oh, sick. Wow. I like that.
It's awesome. It's like weird West adventures. Too, yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. Frank is taking notes, I'm sure. Yeah,
I've also got Edenwood.
Ooh.
By Tony Daniel.
Cover is sick. Okay.
Oh, Tony Daniel. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Tony Daniel.
It's like he's tapping into everything that he learned about anime and manga.
Okay.
And really infusing that. I can't tell what time period it's in. It's kind of like Civil War-ish, but like there's also like undead people. And to wrap it up, on more on the Western, just Canary by Scott Snyder.
Oh, dope. Yeah, Canary's very good. Yeah.
Dan
yeah.
Panosian.
Yeah, man.
Right. It's like horror and like there's like little kids shooting people in the head. I'm like, I'm all about it. Yeah. And my biggest thing I love about this is how good Dan Panosian has gotten since like his X-Force days, because he was he was hot garbage back in the day. He could not ink anybody. He was doing profit. It was like, I'm gonna be like Rob Liefeld. I'm like, could you be better than Rob Liefeld?
That makes you inspired too.
I understand. He was a young guy, and before people come at me about Rob Liefeld, I liked him a lot when I was a kid.
Oh yeah,
his new mutant stuff. I saw like some Art Adams, who was a contemporary, I guess, at the time. I could see some Walt Simonson.
Sure.
But I never saw him get better than what that was. He had better inkers and better colors.
Yeah.
But he was old. He unlike Jim Lee or Mark Silvestri, he never got better. He never improved on his craft. He still kept trying to hide feet.
And
do that with hands.
Yeah. Yeah. He willfully admitted.
Have you ever tried to do this? That hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like nobody punches like that. Yeah. Yeah. My thumb is actually gotten used to it because I do it so often. I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah,
and that's the only qualm I have with him. I understand why people like him, but like for me, it's like I want to see growth. I want to see him get better. Right.
Yeah, he's actually willfully admitted that he does a lot of corner cutting in his, you know, just to improve his speed, you know, to crank out the drawings. I guess it's because of Marvel's demanding schedule or whatever. But
demanding, yeah. I saw him doing Hawk and Dove pages in a video that he posted, inking pages whilst driving in his truck. By himself. Wow. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
Like, I understand dedication, but like, those issues weren't that good.
Yeah.
You should have stopped and drawn on the side of the road and not looked a little better.
Wow. You didn't have to do the
thing. You didn't have to risk your life. Like, I understand, like, trying to show dedication, but like, that's nuts. Like, like artist dies from in the road, lost for seven days because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Issue still good. Late. You know.
Boys in the corner.
Sounds like Rob Liefeld.
What y'all got?
You want to go first, Marcus?
Yeah. I'll go ahead. All right. So the one that's being auctioned at Christie's for $500,000, Black Panther, Ultimate Black Panther number one.
Wait, what?
No.
It's going for like $100.
No, man, it's a hot book.
Somebody doesn't check my stories. There's a little meme.
Marcus, right, you post a million.
I know. And you need to watch all a million. World. You need to watch them all.
I know. We're friends and I mute you.
But anyway, yeah, so Ultimate Black Panther number one. Shout out to Pierce at Alternate Reality. He was looking out for me. And I was actually there in the store while he was doing the FOC for this. And I said, yeah, go ahead and put me on. Because honestly, I wasn't really interested, because after the last arc with John Ridley, I was kind of like, oh, the first six issues of that arc was great. And then it just read real flat. It just took a real nosedive. So I was just like, okay, I'm done. But this actually is a very great issue. It sets up this alternate universe with Black Panther, where the Maker, who's the evil version of Reed Richards, if you will,
mm-hmm.
he's been screwing around with the multiverse, and basically he's putting the Sons of Khonshu, so all the Moon Knight and the people who follow Khonshu, against Wakanda. So they're going to war with each other, and it's really good, phenomenal art. Great story so far. Great setup in the first issue. So we'll see what's going on. I don't have it on my pool, but I'm going to add it because I'm curious. It has me. It definitely has me intrigued.
Nice.
And shout out to Pierce. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he is a good dude. He's really cool. I enjoy Pierce. And then of course Thundercats came out.
Oh.
Issue number one. Declan Shelby and Drew Moss on as the creative team. And I mean, if you're a Thundercats fan, you'll be fine. You're fine. It treats it well. The story starts off with a really brief, kind of quick, kind of origin, kind of to get you set up, and it ends with kind of setting up what the challenge is, you know, going to be ahead for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool. I don't want to say too much of it because it's going to be good, I think.
Nice.
And
the art is dope.
The art is amazing.
And Drew Moss killed it on that.
He did. And I'd actually never heard of him. I don't think I've ever heard of Drew Moss if he's done any other work. But yeah, he's phenomenal on this. And this was also one of the highest ordered comics in a while, like
200,000 pre-orders.
200,000,
yes. And they sold 180,000.
Yes. Damn. Yes. Yeah. So that's,
it's been less than a week.
Yeah. It, oh. Yeah, so that's like what, 90s X-Men time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's era. Insane.
Like,
yeah.
That's a huge print.
I mean,
that's,
they also had like 17 regular covers, so that didn't hurt.
Right,
it's, well, Dynamite. So there's, yeah, gonna, yeah, be. I mean, so that's not including like store retail. It's over like 70 with all the store exclusives. In the back of that issue, it has every cover. It's like 6 pages of covers.
No. Yeah.
And there's like nuts. Rows of 5, and there's like 10 rows. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's really, I'm on cool.
On the retail side too, because I work at Fandomverse, and yep. It's like, the boss is just like, I can't believe covers. I'm like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Dynamite. That's
cool though.
But yeah, it's a great starting point for anyone who wants to get into it or who was interested in ever, you know, wanting to check out what Thundercats was about. Of course, just like with the Thunder, with the
Down Under,
whether it be Thundercats or Duke or G.I. Joe, Transformers. You know, you got a lot. You just got to have something for everyone. You know, the G.I. Joe universe, everything is like, yeah, it's primo. So I think sick. You'll enjoy it. Yeah.
Paul, what you got?
So I, and I'm sure Frank and Marcus and James can identify with this, for the first time in forever, I'm like caught up on my poll box.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to.
I've never done that.
well, being behind on it, I finally caught up on it.
I've done that a lot.
Right.
And I've finally been able to go back and read some trades that I had got and read some actual adult people books.
Yeah. Penthouse number one came out.
But not Penthouse.
Penthouse number comics one. Number one came out this
push
week.
Through, yeah. Push through.
Oh, pull. Man. So I have been rereading all the single issues, but I wanted to get all the trades and reread it. Tom King's Batman. I feel like this run is defined by really high highs and really low lows. Okay. And I think the first, I got what I have today is, volume 8, Cold Days. It's right after, Catwoman leaves him at the altar, which is a super controversial, volume, which I don't really enjoy very much, but I think every volume up until then, and then after that, Cold Days are actually fantastic. Cold Days, is Tom King, of course, Lee Weeks, and also on the other story, which is in the trade, Beast of Burden, is Tony S. Daniel, who's an incredible Batman artist. But the real meat and potatoes of this trade is the Cold Days story, and Batman is angry. He's upset after Selina leaves him at the altar, which, again, very controversial, but I think this volume of this comic handles it in a really interesting way. And Batman, he catches Mr. Freeze. He admits to killing some people, and then Batman realizes he didn't kill those people.
Mm. That's the one that takes place in the courthouse, right?
Yes.
He's on the jury. And that's an amazing run.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Lee Weeks' art is really incredible. There's an awesome shot of Mr. Freeze hitting Batman with the freeze gun, and it might be my favorite like interior Batman thing I've ever seen. But it's really interesting because he pays somebody off. You find out he paid somebody off to get on the jury to get Mr. Freeze off. But the way he describes why, because the jury's just like, Batman says he did it, he did it. And he goes into, it's kind of like he's looking himself in the mirror and calling himself out, but at the same time, like helping get Mr. Freeze. It's really incredible, and I cannot recommend. And you can read this without having, if you just know that Selina and Batman were almost a couple, that's all you have to know to read this. Okay. That's all you have to know to read this. And it's really incredible. That's all I brought today, because I really wanted to highlight how incredible it was. And Lee Weeks, he is maybe one of my favorite artists right now, especially after having reread this. And then Tony S. Daniels, the backup is KG Beast and Dick Grayson and Batman have a fight of sorts. And I don't want to spoil that at all. And it's really cool. So I think that's an awesome trade to go pick up if you can.
That's really cool. I like that.
There's some highlights. We will invite on the Tom King thing.
Frank?
Real quick, I was going to go through, Ed Brisson, you know, Boom Studios leans really heavily into that, that whole sci-fi and, supernatural horror corner. Yes. The Displaced is about a town in Canada. I think it's called Oshawa, Canada, or Owasa, Canada, something like that, that, the whole town disappears.
Oh.
And, sort of like the vibes of like Lost or something like that. cool stories. The crazy old man driving a school bus is trying to keep these people out of this area of the town. There's some time jumps back and forth, but basically the whole town has disappeared. And as time has progressed, these people will start to forget who they are. They're forgetting their loved ones. There's some trauma going on within this. A mom goes on a diaper run and she gets in a car accident. It's a pretty interesting story so far. Cool start. Ed Brisson, he's done a lot of stuff over the years. Like that. I think he did some like a Batman Incorporated
stuff. He also did some X-Men stuff.
And he did X-Men.
Maybe even an Avengers.
Predator.
He's the Predator too, as well. But I've enjoyed it so far. It's going to be a limited series. I think it's like a 5-issue or 6-issue limited series. And the artwork's pretty cool as well.
This is what I'm excited for.
This is something I've been looking forward to for a while because it's Martinborough, but also the artwork is Sanford Green. And you guys know from the Bitterroot stuff that I keep. I'll die on that hill. I love that whole story and that die run.
It's Power Man and Iron Fist.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Phenomenal. But you just check out some of the artwork there. Red Hood there, in there, and there is a little bit of a story as it opens. It's stuff that's taking place prior to the Joker War, Paul. Okay. And then there's a little bit of a time jump, and he's dealing with another vigilante. And this is just going to be like kind of like Bloodhaven is for Nightwing. The Hill is going to be kind of the place that Red Hood sort of occupies. I know this is a limited series as well, but I'd like to see if Sanford Green could get the Bitterroot army, those guys back together, and they could do something ongoing with Red Hood.
Yeah, hopefully it sells well.
It's one issue, and I love the artwork. He's doing all of the cover A's, and I think they have like an alternating artist doing all the B covers, but he does the interiors. His art is ridiculous. If you've ever seen the Bitterroot artwork, if you've ever checked it out, you read that story, it's ridiculous. It's a family in 1920s Harlem that are monster hunters, and the monsters are powered by racism. It's a ridiculous, ridiculously violent story, but it's great monster hunters in Harlem, a family of monster hunters in Harlem in the 20s. That's what Bitterroot is. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Last week they announced that Sanford Green's doing a Doctor Doom series. He's co-writing.
He's going to do a one shot with Hickman.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a series, but I saw that. I'm like,
I can't wait.
Kill it on Doctor Doom.
Yeah, guys. But that's what I got. I know we're running out of time. We're up against it. It's almost a taco time or a pizza time or no, arugula time.
Madam Web time.
Madam Web time. James, thank you for taking the time to hang out with us.
Thank you, guys.
Do you have any thing you wanted to mention? Anything coming up? You doing any Comic-Con appearances or anything?
I think Free Comic Book Day in May. For Saturday in May, I'll be at Fandom Burst. We do free sketches there.
Nice.
They have free comic books for the kids and anybody really comes in. I also, months ago when we started talking, I asked Shane who everybody's favorite superhero was, and I've got sketches for everybody.
No, that's awesome. You did that's not. Awesome. Cool.
Shane, you want to say who's it? So I've got...
Batman, here is for Paul.
Correct. Nice.
Deadpool is for Sonny.
No! Oh, man. Thank you. Dude, this is so rad.
Real fast, this is for Frank.
That's so cool. Erica Slaughter.
That's dope. Wow, that is. Thank you.
That's another amazing.
No way.
And that's thank for you, my friend.
Hold on. And then he's like, I'm not going to show. Hold on, that's my last one. Marcus is Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
That is sick.
Thank super you.
Man. I don't know if you can see it, but.
And I have Power Girl.
Hold up that. I'll get it when we get up, but let me see that bat. That's super dope. Thank you. You did. That's incredibly nice of you. You did not have to do that.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's very wow.
Power Girl for me.
Right. Oh man!
That
let's end it.
Slaughter
on
one is freaking awesome.
Yeah, let's Paul. Everybody show the art. And we can get a good snap for it.
Paul,
yeah.
How do they find thank us in the Fandom Verse on Free Comic Book Day?
You can find us in the Fandom Verse on Free Comic Book Day at @into_comics on Twitter, Into the West Comics on TikTok, Instagram, and here on YouTube, and @IntoTheWestComics on any audio platform. Shout out Dre, who's working hard on making clips and everything like that. We really appreciate him. And shout out Austin, who we had a lot of big mouths on the show today, so he wasn't able to get in, but we really appreciate him. And Marcus hasn't shaken him out of his boots yet.
No.
And thank you, James, for being here and doing those.
Thank you,
and
no problem.
All your incredible work, and it was really a lot of fun to have you on here and hear about all the stuff you've done and gone through. We really appreciate you.
Yeah,
it's my pleasure, guys.
Glad Stone, you're one of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. And everybody all else.
And he's met Frank.
Yeah, and everybody else, I can't stand you. But so,
safe. Yeah,
except for Quan, of course. Quan, I love you.
I love that you call me Stone like I'm in high school in a gym class. Every person of a certain melanin level called me Stone.
Stone, get out of here.
Or Stone or Stoney.
Come over here, I'm doing like, pull-ups.
I'm just like, I can't. I'm that cat from the poster.
We thank James for hanging out with us tonight.
Yes.
Sonny, you got anything for the people real quick?
No, we'll see you. We'll see you next week. Thank you a lot. This is awesome. I'm hanging it up in the office.
Yes, appreciate it.
Yeah, so yeah, that is very cool.
Thank you
very
so cool.
Much.
No and see for tonight, week. It's Madam Web time in America.
Sydney Sweeney time.
Oh, Sonny, you took the words out of my mouth. Holy crap.
What is it? What
Sydney Sweeney time.
Sydney Sweeney time, Sweeney time in America.
What you could do instead is have an arugula salad.
Liz, I love you. I'm sorry.
Arugula salad.
Good night, everybody. See y'all next week.
Have a good night.
Love you.
Good night, everyone.
Go to your LCS. Eva. Support your LCS.
Eva, I love you. LCS.